Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message from Pastor Jay Armalee inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
Ask that. I feel real. My message has changed several times throughout the week for several reasons. Interesting season that we're in. This has been quite a week. If you don't watch the news, everybody's aware of what happened. Okay, if you don't, I'd be surprised. You know, there are moments in the world that are pivotal moments. And we've lived through many in the last little while. You know, nobody knew that in March of 2020, that when they said we're going to close the schools for a couple weeks, nobody knew what we are heading into, right? You know, we have first responders here. You guys didn't know. Most doctors didn't know. Nobody knew. And everybody has their thoughts on that. That's not where I'm going. But the point is, it shaped things, correct? Work with me today. Name some other pivotal moments that you know of. 9/11, absolutely. Very close together, these events. 9/11 shaped my generation. A lot of you were my age when it happened, but I was young. I remember exactly where I was. I remember turning on the radio and hearing it. Oh no, I went home to get something. That's what it was. On the way home, my radio was on in the car, and I remember thinking, what is going on? Because I was a teacher at the time. And of course, that day we all listened to the radio to hear things unfold. That was a pivotal moment. Another pivotal moment. Financial crash in 08, absolutely. That was a pivotal moment for a lot of people, a lot of businesses, big names, you know. We're looking at a time even, it's not necessarily directly related to that, but man, who would have ever thought we'd go to our mall and not see these big box stores on the ends, right? The Bay, and like things are changing in our world quickly. Yeah, COVID, March 20. Recession. If you're older, there's got to be some other ones. October 7th, absolutely. That changed the world. Still is changing the world. These are hinge events that really do change things. If you're older, Martin Luther King, Kennedy, tsunami. You know, like we can come up with so many that are not just a moment that you move away from. They're moments that do shape history. And I believe, I feel a weightiness on this because the world is yet to see how this moment shapes history. But you gotta realize a generation of young people witnessed an assassination live, a lot of them. It's different, and it's hard to talk about. I don't think there's young kids in here. I was not around for Martin Luther King. I don't know if it was, I don't think it was a live moment, but this is something that not only was live, it was because of social media, it was played over and over and over again. This will shape the minds of a generation. And that's trauma. And that's something I want to pray into. Please help me to not forget that, my front row helpers, because I want to really pray into that because it is trauma on a generation. But what I really want to, for the next few minutes, I'm going to talk about lighter things afterwards. This is going to basically be kind of a 3 weeks for me and a review of things that I've learned that, you know, we're going into a festival of hope. How many know that there's hope needed right now? Like the tension, this actually reminds me of COVID and the amount of dialogue and discrepancy and disagreements that people had. Because the reality is in this room, if I polled everybody, some people have no clue who Charlie Kirk was, you know, that you maybe saw him. Some of you followed him and loved him. Some of you followed him and didn't like him. Like the views would be very diverse in here. Regardless of what you think, he was making an impact. He was making a difference. And even if you take all that away, anybody being assassinated in front of a generation will still impact and scar that generation. And what happens now in the next little while will determine how things go. My heart is grieved because the world is more divided and the Christian world is more divided than we've ever been. And yet it says they shall know us by our love, by our unity. turning your Bibles to John, I want to read the prayer that Jesus prayed. Let's go John 17. John 17, 20, it says, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may also all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. It's interesting that our love and our unity will show people that he is real. Now, how many know that there is a real enemy that tries to keep us from walking in that? That's why Jesus was praying. He's like, this is going to be hard. I'm going to pray that you guys will walk together because it's not going to be easy. The first century Christians, if you read all the way through the New Testament, you will see that there's disagreements right off the bat. There's things that they don't see eye to eye on. Why? Because life is messy. I felt like worship today. Worship was messy for us, at least. You probably heard it a little bit. I'm like, well, this is just life, right? You want things to go one way, beautiful, perfect, but that's not life. Preparing a message, I had thoughts on Monday, and then Wednesday happens. And then, you know, you just process for the next few days. I want to, in the midst of this, warn us. Turn with me. I want you to read this scripture as I set this as the stage. Would you turn with me to Ephesians 5? 15 to 17, Ephesians 5. Please know as I share this, I'm not sharing. You may say, why are you not going to share in favor of him? I'm not actually, I don't know enough. I do know this, and if I could say anything about this young man, 31-year-old man, and we know, of course, where violence is never the answer. We all know that. But this is the stirring that is happening, the tension that is happening. And one thing I do know, regardless if you like him or not, that man had an anointing to reach young people. And he actually, you know what they said about him? He was willing to listen to us. Even if we disagreed, he genuinely listened to us. So I want to let you know that this will be a house where we will listen to young people. If one man can make an impact, what can a whole church do where we take our time to say, listen, I'm not going out to coffee to tell you what to do. I'm going out to coffee to listen. Because there might have been a day, you know that old saying, well, it's not worse than when I grew up. Come on. It is not the same world that I grew up in. It's not the same world that Mary grew up in. This world has changed in the last 60 years dramatically. I could give you examples, but I won't because you have enough of your own. Ephesians 5, listen to this. It says, so then that you walk circumspectly. That word means accurately or carefully. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but be as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be unwise. Do not be unwise. I want to lead in with that because if I could give a lesson here, and it's not going to be as biblical as it is, just I want to teach you something. You're not going to believe this, but not everything you see on the internet is real. I know. It comes as a shockeroo. But you actually might be unaware of how much of what you read is untrue. First of all, since Wednesday, I don't think I could go on. I'm literally probably going to take a break from Facebook. I'm exhausted because you can't go anywhere without seeing this whole story over and over again. Now, that's just the algorithms of Facebook. But I want to help you understand something. Because as I've done many eons now, it seems, of Facebook life. And since COVID has really hit, there are some things that are happening that most people don't realize. I'm actually going to ask even, where's Josh? Josh, I really want to get you in at some point. I know you've been kind of getting things together to help people with fraud and all that. You know, we live in a time where we need to start training so we are wise. Because how many know that the amount of spam and fraudulent behavior is like off the charts? I have been offered more jobs on my phone. Anybody else get those? You know, so, hey, we've just found your resume. The resume I never handed in, but like, I'm exhausted from that alone. What you may not be aware of, because I've noticed, and I'll even say I've noticed within this house and Christians that I know and people that I know, there is so much fake information out there. It's terrible. It's hard to even understand why, but I'll tell you what is happening, then I'll tell you the why. First of all, people make money off of this. It's sad, but it's clickbait. When you click on something because it catches your attention, if you get enough clicks, and Josh knows way more about that and understands, especially in the YouTube realm and TikTok realm and all that, but if you get enough clicks, there is a way to monetize. So there are always people in the basic level looking for a way to make money. So shock value sells, right? But what I began to notice quickly, there was a moment where it was just simply pandemonium, trying to figure out what happened. Was he alive? Did he pass away? And there was a moment of that. But within a short time, you started to see videos that were conspiracy oriented, that were all these different things. I saw one that was being passed around about the last conversation that Charlie had with his family that should have told everybody. You know, most of that stuff is somebody, it's usually AI that's creating something to get out there, to get people talking so you click on it. Now, here's what you really need to understand, and maybe you're not aware of this. There are three things that are happening on the internet. And you may wonder why I'm saying this, because as Christians, I want to up the bar of our accuracy, our truth, and our integrity. Because if you spread false information, you're adding to the problem. And we have to become wise in this hour not to fuel something without meaning to. I've done it. I have passed along information only to find out afterwards, oh, that wasn't it. Oh my gosh. There was one yesterday. Let me give you an idea. There was one yesterday that was going around. Everybody was celebrating because there are 3 million people in Europe that were marching. Supposedly, they were saying for Charlie Kirk. It had nothing to do with Charlie Kirk. It was actually an immigration. And it was to do it. Now, there were some good things. It had to do with free speech. I'm not saying it was bad, but people quickly want to attach something to something else to make it look big. But we're spreading lies at that point. When people come to me with a testimony, I don't share it until I want to know the facts. I want to know that if we're sharing this testimony because you heard it on the internet, I want to know that this is true. Let me give you another example. There was a video circulating. It comes and goes, it seems, but there was a girl in, I want to say it was a foreign nation like India or somewhere. You probably have all seen it. I believed it too. I did not expect this to be different, but did you ever see the girl that had an arm like this and then they kept pouring water and praying over it and all of a sudden it like grew? Nobody's seen that video. It was circulating like crazy for a while. People in, somebody I know posted it. This is where we have to find out the truth, because it turns out that girl was in an accident. It was a legit, but she had the ability to contort herself. Pastors, I hate to say this, pastors were paying her to come to their church to make it look like it was a genuine miracle. Because she was found out, because they kept saying, wait a minute, this is the same girl having the same miracle. Like, after a while, the internet exposes you, right? You can't go to different churches and all of a sudden you're back to that condition. And this is why we have to be wise, because if we don't increase the bar, we lower the bar and it makes us harder. Because when people walk through our doors, they're like, you guys are just weird. We are, but let's not be weird for things that we shouldn't be. Three things at play. Maybe you've read this, maybe you're savvy. Three things at play. There are state actors There are, I want to get the names right. I apologize. I got a quick look here. State actors. There are troll farms. And there are bots. Did anybody know that? State actors, troll farms, and bots. What are these? State actors are people, are real people, that feel a cause, begin to want to fight for something they want to fight for. There are state actors in Russia and China and you name it. There's state actors all over. But they get a real passion. They want to take down something. And so they begin to create things. They make it their life mission to create things. And a lot of times it's fake things. So here's, this is going, I'm not trying to go so political, but did you know that if a nation can kill you from within, it saves them a lot of problems? You understand what I'm saying? In COVID, you may not have understood this, but in COVID, they found that there was a ton of misinformation being spread about everything you can think of, the George Floyd situation, the COVID. A lot of it was being spread from other nations that simply had state actors that simply, they would produce things. Now we go to the next level. This is crazy stuff, but it all is all happening. You have what's called troll farms, where they produce mass things. They pose as, this is real, they pose as real people that are actually taking even sometimes the state actors' information and creating more of it, and then they are sending it out into the world to cause confusion, to cause hatred and anger. And then they have programs that are bots that take information, and they have, I can't even remember the stats. You would be amazed at how many thousands of accounts there are on Facebook and TikTok that are not real people, that they are bots continually putting out information. Correct, Josh? Yeah, 100%. Probably even worse than that. So why do I say all this? Because we're living in a time where hate, like, it's not just Christians that are talking. We had a talk with a gentleman the other day. We know him, and he's a business owner. We just started to talk. And he says the amount of hate that he sees just in the business that he runs, which is a food business. He says, I shut down for one day because I don't even remember why. He said, I had somebody writing things about me on Facebook. He's never even attended my place. People are full of anger and hate and want fights. So we have a situation like we did on Wednesday. The scripture says to be wise, because what's happening is people are seeing something and they are spreading it. So these state agents, troll farms, and bots put these things out, and somebody looks at it and goes, look it. I cannot believe what they said. And they repost. And then they repost. And they repost. And it's too late by the time people see it. It's too late if it's the truth or not the truth, because it's stuck in people's minds. So as Christians, it is time for us to take a stand in the sense, first of all, it says biblically, we are to build up and edify. So anything that I send out, if it's doing the wrong, if it's doing the opposite, I don't want to do it. And you say, what about making political points? I'm not in a political office. I don't want to be in a political office. I'm going to be like Paul. I want to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I want to follow what he says, because in this hour, we need to look more like Jesus than ever before. I want to walk into situations that says, blessed are the peacemakers. I want to walk into situations. I want to be a peacemaker. I want to bring down the tension. I don't want to increase it. Well, if I'm on Facebook and I'm spreading things and you're just throwing these into the world, you could be doing more damage than good. So here's what I'm asking as a body. Again, I'm asking, you have your own right to do whatever you want. Before you share something, research it. It's amazing how quickly you can use ChatGPT. Causes me PTSD. You could copy that, paste it in that chat program, and say, is this real? And it usually will give you some information to tell you if it's real or not. Now, I know some of you are in here and you're like, well, it's a conspiracy, you won't. I know there are some things that maybe go deeper and it's harder, but some of the things are so quickly to debunk. See, what's happening right now, more than ever before, is that we've divided. I did a whole, I can't share all the research that I did. I was just curious, but talking American politics, did you know that there was a time, there was a glorious time when parties actually didn't differ that much? Anybody remember those days if you're older? There was times. I did. I was researching it because there were conservative Democrats. There was a part of it that they were conservative Democrats and there were liberal Republicans. So I have a stat that I, from before, I can't find it, but back in the day when my dad was, you know, younger, that in American politics, there were often bills that were passed that both parties would vote on. Not everybody, because not everybody agreed, but there would be both sides that would say, yeah, I think that's good, or no. In the last 10 years, the amount of cross-voting, that is, it's almost nothing anymore. And here's why. Because we have a society that is vilifying people. If you believe that, you're evil, because we're on this side. And guess what we get to do? We get to walk the middle with Jesus. Meaning, I'm not saying walk the middle as in not have opinions. I mean, our call, turn to Matthew. I'm going to give you a few more scriptures here, and then I'm going to totally turn off this topic and go somewhere else. Turn to Isaiah 61. We'll start there. We'll go to Matthew in a second. It's just I turned to Isaiah first. Isaiah 61, if you want to know what your call is as a Christian, if you want to know how to navigate all this, this is it. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. In Isaiah, it says, and the vengeance of our God. If you read in Luke, it's interesting that when Jesus quotes this passage, he does not say that, because Jesus was about to take the vengeance upon himself. So his point was, that is not needed anymore. So we proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. This is what we get to do. We take out the vengeance to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. This is our call as Christians. We can't do something different than Jesus did, because Jesus came and he said, this is my call and I'm gonna make disciples in that. And then before he died in Matthew, we don't have to go there. He said what? Go make disciples of all the nations. What did those disciples look like? They looked like Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Please do not misinterpret or misconstrue or think that I don't believe that we should be fighting for things that are right. I hope you understand that. What I am saying is that the divisive division, and after this moment in history, it's a hinge. We don't know which way it's gonna go, but if it causes more violence and more anger, we're going in the wrong direction. But if it causes us to go, you know what? We need to step up. It is lighting a fire. I just hope it's the right fire. I really hope it's the fire of passion of Jesus being proclaimed. And I think there's a moment we could have right now where we begin to love the world like never before. I think we sit at that moment. But if it's connected and coupled with anger and vengeance, then we actually have bit into another realm that we don't want to be in. You following me? You may not agree with me, but I pray that you would at least try to pray about these words, because It's interesting that we often take the words that Jesus uses that he was sending to the religious elite, and we use them on people that have not ever said yes to Jesus. Did you know that Jesus never talked to those people like that? He talked to people that knew better and should be doing differently. He talked to them going, you whitewashed tombs, you guys know better. But he would eat and dine with the broken, the lost, the confused, the ones that have no clue. He would dine with them and he would share with them. Somehow in this world, we've taken what we believe and we've thrown it into a group of people that have never said yes to the Lord, but we're judging them on the same qualifications. And we need to stop doing that and having conversations to go, hey, can I introduce you? I know you've heard a lot about Jesus, but can I show you the real Father heart of God? That's what I want to do. And I'm not saying anybody did or didn't. I'm just saying what we need to do. You understand? So please don't misconstrue my words. All right. Whew, that was the heavy part of the message. I say that because I am really concerned about where we go from here. It will shape us. It did shape. I'm just hoping and praying that we can shape it the right way. There are also some amazing things coming out of this. I always, you know, I say something about my son when he's not here. One of these days, I'm going to have him here. Again, I drive with him on Friday and we work together. And talk about a pivotal moment as a father. We talked a lot about this whole situation, and I didn't know he actually had watched a lot of his stuff, was very intrigued by him, encouraged by his courage. But he came upon a clip after the fact of the assassination, and I think that's how it went, but basically the clip was either he had said it, this is what I longed to hear one day, or somebody said he is standing before the Lord. And he said, he gets to now hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. And then my son said, I can't wait to get before the Lord. I want to hear that. I was like, thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Now, I'll go back to that moment. Steve Schroeder, do not neglect, do not, the seed that we have planted. I'm seeing it in all of my kids. It's beautiful. Okay. Was I going somewhere else and then I just got lost? No, forget Matthew. We already did. Go make disciples of all the nations. Okay. No. I'm going to share just in the last few minutes some brief things. Oh, I know what I was going to do. That's what. Front row, where were you? Pray. Let's just pray for a minute, guys. And would you keep this as a prayer as you go through the coming days? Father God, we ask, Lord, that you would begin to heal the trauma, not only in the young people, but on all the people, the trauma on a nation, the nations. There is a lot of trauma. But Lord, the young people that would have been immersed in seeing these videos of a live assassination and as graphic as it was, Lord, I pray, Father God, that you would begin to heal them. Lord, you begin to heal their hearts. Would you begin to heal their minds? And Lord, would you begin to put people in their path if they do not have people? Would you put people in their path that would begin to bring peace to them? And I pray in this hour that there would be those that would rise up to bring peace to this world, peace to this nation. Would you heal the collective trauma in Jesus' name? Amen. Amen. Next week, we have our Festival of Hope. And the next few things I want to share really come out of my time away with Krista. If you know me well, I'm a people watcher everywhere I go. I just love to, Krista loves to read. She does the opposite. I just love to watch people. I have come to realize that most of us, especially me, maybe not you, I'm immersed in my own little cocoon. You know, I see the people that I see, especially in my job. I come to work and there's not a lot of people. So when I get to be in the world, and especially in a different part of the world, I just love to take note. There's a lot of things that I took notes. So this is just some Cole's notes and some thoughts, but I'd really never been on a subway. We had once and it was really quick. So we rode the subway. We were in Barcelona for part of our trip and we rode it for like an hour at a time to get to different places. And Subways are really fascinating, actually, because you see the world quickly come and go. And we've talked a lot about this, but I will say this, the world is the most isolated it has ever been. There were very few people, if any, maybe one or two, that did not sit on that subway without something in front of them. Some people had a book, and I thought that's refreshing, an actual paper book. Most people had something that they were watching, something in their ears. And I get it. If I were to do that every day, I'm sure I would fall into that trap. But what I did notice is that there is no communication among people because nobody's talking. Then it's interesting. You go from that moment where people are like isolated, and then you go into a European elevator. Have you ever been in a European elevator? The smallest things you can come up with. And then they say, fits eight. Where? You know, like, maybe if everybody just like this, but so you get into these small elevators where nobody has learned to talk to each other anymore, and everybody's like really awkward. I think I shared this last week. We had a funny moment because the one girl, she was like chipper, and we pushed our number, and she pushed her number, and she's like, oh, look, different colors. And I thought she was going to pull that elf moment where she was going to like, I'm like, we're on the last floor. Don't do that. She was just excited about the different colors. So you pair all this together, going back to the first one, a generation that no longer knows how to dialogue because we are always isolated. Loneliness is increasing like never before. So you and I get to simply be people that interact. I want to encourage you, if I can encourage you to do anything, when you're in public, put down phones. If nothing else, learn to people watch. But if you can, talk to people, because people find it refreshing. They find it life-giving. I've never talked to somebody that didn't want to talk. Everybody usually is like, oh, this is like, wow, conversation, because people are desperate for it. Next week, as we have our Festival of Hope, be available as a church. I encourage you, yes, enjoy, be with your family, but open yourself up to have conversations with people that come. Sounded wonderful. Judy holding Corinne's baby, giving her a chance to worship. This is what it's all about. This is family, amen? Point number two. Interesting that, have you ever thought, man, if we worship the way we do, won't people that come in find it really weird? Anybody ever had that thought? Like, will they ever go, hey, man, come on, let's be honest. I have. If we get really passionate, what will they think? Well, interesting. God put me in a situation that I felt like he was speaking to me. Krista blessed me while we were on this trip. Flamenco? Flamenco. I was calling it flamingo dancing, but it's flamenco dancing. Anybody ever heard of flamenco dancing? It's true Spanish. It's traditional. It almost at times felt like a First Nations, like it was very interesting. It was a cool thing. You talk about hospitality. We got ushered in and we had this beautiful meal and they served you. And then we went into this very small, intimate room where they would perform. Interesting enough, no two shows are alike. We did not know that until we read it. You think this is a performance, the shows are all alike. Okay, so this is the most cool thing. If you're a musician, you would have loved it. I thought of Jeff and different ones that I spent my whole time watching. There is a point to this. I'm not just trying to tell you about my trip. They tell you in the write-up, unless you speak Spanish, and I even wonder sometimes if they go into other like older dialects, but unless you speak Spanish, you're gonna have no clue what's going on. So they say, don't try, immerse yourself in the moment and feel it. I'm like, okay, let's do that. So you have three components that are happening, just a long story short. You have a singer, singers, you have a dancer or dancers, depending on what's going on, and you have instruments, a guitarist. And what they do is they come out, and I don't know how they do all this, but at some point, somebody has to lead. And you see them, they're talking to each other like, you go up, you start, you know. And they walk out there in that moment, this is why I know two shows are alike, and they begin to do something based on how they feel. Now, I'm sure that there are stories that they tell, because they did say that you would hear possibly you would hear stories about people working in the mines or like all these different span of the Civil War that they had. So you may hear the singer come up with this cry in their gut, you know, like, and it was, there are moments where like the singers were like, it was a cry. It was so beautiful and weird. And, but then you have the musicians, if the singer starts, they just start singing. And then the dancer begins to dance to that. And then the instruments begin to play to that. And they move all, like the moment is shifting based on the what the people are feeling. So literally no show is alike. And you can hear them in the background afterwards when they go off, you can hear them celebrating. And they often would say, ole, ole, you know. That was their celebration word, I guess. Why do I say all that? Because I had no clue of what the language was. I didn't know what they were talking about. But I'll tell you, there are a few times I was moved to tears. The moment was affecting me, powerfully affecting me. Their passion for whatever story they were sharing was affecting me. So why do I say that? Because the same opportunity with connected to the living God can happen here. Because of course, people will come in and not understand the words on the screen. And I used to worry about that. Now I'm beginning to realize that I need to let Holy Spirit be Holy Spirit. You need to let Holy Spirit be Holy Spirit. And you need to say, Lord, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm nervous. My friend's coming. This is going to be weird. But you do something in them. I'm going to leave that to you. And I'm just going to be me and I'm going to worship because your worship may be the thing that leads them into an encounter. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because a lot of times we get kind of weird. Like, I don't know if I should worship because my friend's here. You worship because what is happening with you may lead him into an encounter. Because I can promise you this, I have never, ever, as far as I know, please, Lord, if I remind me, but I never hear people walk out and go, that was so weird, I don't like it. Everybody walks out and they go, that was super interesting, I felt something. I've had people walk through the door, people that I know, they're like, I walked in and I started to cry. What was that? So if you struggle with that, I'm trying to help you understand, myself included, it's okay, let God be God. My favorite story of all time is one of the first times, maybe the first time I took Krista to church. Was it the first time? We had the guest speaker. We're talking about inner basement. It is small. There's like our rows consisted of 5 chairs. That's how small it was. So it was intimate and like scary to bring somebody. Shag carpet. I remember it so well. Remember the yellow shag carpet? Plastic chairs, like the plastic we use for picnics. It was so makeshift. So to see all this, I'm like, wow, God's done some incredible things. We have this guest speaker. So I thought I'd bring Krista. This is like, I might want to marry this girl. She comes, and this guest speaker decides to preach on the demonic. This is Krista's first time. And she starts telling stories about demons, and I'm like, oh, God. We're done. Another one bites the dust. You know, she is not really, she's going to church a little bit. She's Catholic at that point. And, but like, this was out there. Like even today I'd be like, oh gosh, like it was out there. Afterwards, I'm kind of like, so what'd you think? And she's like, oh my gosh, it was great. And she starts telling me things that I'm not even sure she talked about. And never once did she mention anything of the weird stuff. The demons. I told her afterwards, like, that didn't freak you out. She's freaked, what? And I tell her, she's like, she didn't talk about that. I'm like, okie dokie. It was like the Lord went, yeah, she doesn't need to hear that yet. Let's just close her ears. And she didn't hear any of it, but what she needed to hear, she heard, and it touched her. And that was my lesson to go, once again, Lord, I just let you be Lord. You know, if we try to orchestrate every service so it doesn't offend or touch something weird for people that they don't, it's impossible. Now, I fully believe, I want to always be explaining things. So when I have guests in the house and we say the word prophetic, I want to try to help people understand that. It's important. You know, we should be growing people in the Lord. When we say the blood of Jesus, I think it's important to explain why the blood. But the reality is there are going to be some things we're like, all right, I just, Lord, that has to be you. So The very last thing, I touched on this last week. If turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians, last thing, and then we'll close up. First Corinthians 10:31. It says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Colossians 3:17 says, and whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Last week, if you could put up the first slide, I told you we had a chance to go see something that I've wanted to see for a long time. This is called the Sagrada Familia. It's a Catholic church, cathedral. I showed you a picture last week, and a lot of this stuff was not even done when that picture, when I put that picture up. That must have been from quite a few years ago. Go to the next picture. We'll just go through them. This is a little more. And then the next picture. You can stop there. If you could see, it's hard to probably see. I encourage you to go look up pictures. Maybe I'll throw these on the internet. The engravings and the story of the gospel being told is the most incredible architectural thing I've ever seen. I read about do everything that we do, do it unto the Lord. And it reinforced to me that we all have a gift. And whatever gift we carry, if we use it unto the Lord, it can bring people to the Lord. A lot of times we go to work and we have this saying, hopefully not as much, this is my secular job. I go and do my secular work. Can we just get rid of that? There is no secular work. There's work and we go to church and everywhere we go, it's spiritual. Because everywhere we go, we have an opportunity to shed light. Can you imagine one man who decided as a strong Catholic, so as a Christian who loved the Lord and as an architect, he decided, I want to do something that will stand time, knowing that he would never see the finish of it, the completion, but generations would finish it. I can't even describe, normally I would never say I have a spiritual encounter in a building, but I had a spiritual encounter in a building. Because I witnessed a man that spent his life going, one day people may walk in here and meet Jesus because of everything I did. It says, and I'll read the scripture. You don't have to turn to it. I read it last week. It says in Exodus 31, it says, then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship to design artistic works, to work in gold, silver, bronze, cutting jewels, carving wood, to work in all manner of workmanship. And then it goes a little further. And indeed, I have put wisdom in the hearts of all the gifted artisans that they may make all that I have commanded you. Turn to the next slide. Hopefully I put a picture in. This is one side of the building. He designed it. So where the sun comes up, it was all the blues, the greens. So when the sun comes up, it's got this morning glow. And when the sun goes down, the next picture, it's got this. I think I have one more in there, I hope, of the, no, you can go back to that sunset for a second. That was a whole wall of the sunset. This gentleman filled, I believe, with the Spirit of God, designed things that he knew. Literally, he said, I don't know when they'll ever figure this out, but there's a generation that will come that will get this, and they will finish it. He designed something that he knew other people would come and finish. So there are structural geniuses in this building. I hope I have, go to the next picture. Those poles that are going up, you'll see at the top, become like tree branches. And he figured out how to make these structures that would support something that would not be built for hundreds of years in his time, 18 something or other, early 1900s, he figured that out before they would ever build it. This guy's a genius. A couple more pictures. That's the last one. Interesting enough, that of course sits right over the altar. That is crucifixion. Interesting. It's full of grapes and wheat all around it to show the body of Christ, body and the blood. And then it's got 50 lanterns that are lit to show the 50 days of Pentecost. There's nothing in this building that you cannot see without a purpose that's leading you somehow to the Lord. Everything, I don't think Krista had the picture, I didn't grab it. Everything the building leads up to this one point, and it was so cool to hear. We had the audio version, people had live tours. To hear them go, oh, you gotta look at this, so look up. And this whole building goes into a triangle, and the people that were giving the interview, they're like, or the tour, do you know what that is? Do you guys know what that is? That's the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So just for a minute, do you realize that a man 150 years ago had an idea that thousands of people get introduced to the gospel because of his artistic expression? Isn't that crazy? What does that mean for us? It doesn't mean that we have to go and build that. I think it'd be kind of cool to worship in a place like that. That would be really cool, the reverberation, the echo. But if one man can dedicate his life to use his gift so other people can experience God, I believe in each of us is a gift, whether it's worship, whether it's design, serving, anything that God has given you, it is meant to glorify him in some way. And today, you know what that looks like? Doing it with integrity is a great start. I recently have an experience and I realized I was lied to. Person looked right at me and told me things that weren't true. Even after I told them I was a pastor, I threw that in because I started to wonder and I'm like, hey, I'm a pastor, you know, trying to bring some Holy Spirit conviction. Didn't seem to matter. Doing what we do with simple integrity, truth, honesty, to the best of our ability, showing up on time, that makes a difference. I believe this building, not like it's like that, but I believe how we take care of this building as people walk through, I believe as you greet them next week and you greet them every Sunday, it will shed light on them. It will, I believe every opportunity is an opportunity for life for people. Anybody want to agree with me on that? When they walk through that door and they're greeted with warmth that they haven't received all week. See, we live in our little bubbles, right? We go home, my kids go home, they hear, I love you. And they tell me how much they love me. They'll say, hey, love you, Dad. I get to hear that probably 4 or 5 times a day, minimum. No, more than that, because I say it to Krista all the time. So all combined, because we say it all the time, I'm probably hearing it 10 times a day. You know, there are some people that have never heard it 10 times in their life. Like they've grown up environments where love was not promoted, love was not shown, love was not given. So when they walk through the door and they feel genuine warmth and love, that can change them right at the get-go. So I say all this because I think this is a cathedral, but God says that we are the living stones. The temple is no longer a building, we are the temple. So when this created an experience in me, I believe when they walk through next week, we as the temple of God can create an experience for them. You following me? You are those beautiful pillars because this said in Isaiah 61, it says, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness that they may be called the trees of righteousness. I end with that because when we go through all those things and we give up our mourning and we get praise and we, the spirit of heaviness, we get rid of that, we become trees of righteousness. So when they walk through, they don't have to see pillars. You are the pillar that they're gonna meet. You're the joy that they're gonna meet. You're the spirit of praise that they're gonna meet. And you can change their life. And we are in a season right now where people need it desperately. So as we leave here, I want to encourage you, first of all, invite people next week. And let's come together and be the living stones that create something for these people. Be available. Don't just talk with the people you know. Be available to have a conversation. Be available to share your testimony. if it leads that way. Don't walk up to somebody. I got to tell you my story. My pastor told me to. Person's like, oh, dear God. I don't even believe in God, but I need him now. If the door opens, tell your story. If it doesn't, be a listening ear. Just listen. If it never happens, walk along. Be a friend. Amen. And as we leave here today, if nothing else, I encourage you, if you are on social media, first of all, don't believe everything you read. Check it out. Don't repost. Maybe take a vacation from it. It's exhausting. Please stand. I actually think I covered everything today. We get to live in exciting days, don't we? I guess that means the Lord knew that we could do great things. Because he could have put us in another generation, but he put us now. Have you ever thought about that? That we live now for a reason? And I realize that I may not impact everywhere, but man, I want to impact where I'm called to impact. And that's enough. So Lord, I thank you that you are teaching us to be wise, to be available, to be ready. Lord, I pray that we would be those that would not spread false information, but we would first, I pray, Lord, before we spread anything, we ask ourselves if we should be. Is this going to build up, edify? And if it's not, that we don't. And if we feel that we're supposed to, Lord, I pray that we would check to know that what we are sharing is real. And Lord, I pray the next Sunday as we invite people that this would become a place where they can experience you in your presence and they would be touched by you. I pray, Lord, you would help us to live lives that would be honoring and full of integrity that would touch other people. And I thank you, Lord, that we get to worship you in freedom every time we come in on Sundays. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.